If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This week, the second major of the golf season heads to Quail Hollow, home of the Green Mile finish.
Have you even shot one of these things before?
This is a PGA Championship Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club, the best course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
Why do I have to be in camouflage so the big bad quail doesn't see me?
PGA Championship Week on Primetime with Isaac and Sue on 1080.
I don't even know what the f*** the quail is.
The Fan.
Welcome aboard.
The best part is right before Buckley went on the air, I looked over at him and he's got this big grin on his face and he goes, I feel like such a moron. And I was like, yeah, you're part of the backwards hat club now, huh?
That's right. That's what you're doing. You're supposed to be doing it too. This is going to be a show thing today.
I
committed to the bit.
You did. One, I don't really like wearing hats indoors. I don't know. Like I've said before, like when you're bald, I find that the hat can be, I don't know, it can be a bit restrictive, and there's something about indoors, like, I'll go back and forth, but usually when we start the show, if I'm wearing a hat, I just take it off. It feels weird, but I always make fun of Will, because Will refuses to wear his hat forwards ever, like, it permanently is backwards.
Colin, man.
So I was making fun of him, and Buckley did decide that we should all go hat backwards. Here, I'll go hat backwards.
Okay, right. Okay. So now we finally, he's committing to the bit, folks.
You guys look so much
this
better.
This feels so.
Will thinks we look better.
You this look feels so much better.
So ridiculous. But that was the best. Is I didn't
finally,
realize you were doing it until
good.
I looked over at you, and now Buck just grins and goes, I feel like such a moron.
Now,
and I do too.
For reference here, it's one half of your Sports Bros today. It's an SOB edition of Primetime. Suk, Ortner, and Buckley, as Rop is still on the pilgrimage back to Salina and probably maybe
like Colorado.
Yeah, something like that.
Because he flew down and then you figure he's got a day or two to set up. Probably started driving yesterday. So we're figuring it's a Denver, Salt Lake, Boise 3-day kind of venture.
Yeah, and they might even, I mean, depending on the packing up, maybe they're even leaving today.
It's possible.
So anyhow, for reference, the backwards hat thing started when I walked in and saw Ortner catching crap from Suk about wearing his hat backwards. Now, I personally, I don't have much issue with the backwards hat. I just abandoned it for myself about 5 years ago around the age of 35. It stopped feeling right.
Yeah.
But for a strapping young lad like Ortner,
that's why I make fun of Will. Because Will was like, what, 27, 28?
I'm 27 years young.
Yeah. See, Will can wear the hat backwards.
Yeah.
It looks ridiculous.
Damn,
but to a 27-year-old, it's fine.
Well,
response was, Ken Griffey Jr. wears his hat backwards. And my response was,
you ain't Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah. But there is a point in time, and I don't know what it is. It might be around the age of 30, 35, where having your hat on backwards, you feel like a tool. Unless you're unless you're like cool guy.
But I never felt that way when I was younger. Maybe because we just were tools when we were younger. But it seems like it fits more of a youthful vibe. I mean, it's like seeing, I don't know, it's like when you see someone like way older and like super hip like sneakers. You're like, I mean, I guess I respect the attempt here, but I don't believe you're that cool to be wearing those.
As you get older, you'll morph into, like, I used to be a big Jordan guy, and I still have plenty of Jordan sneakers, but I did kind of have to, I got rid of some of the, I've toned it down. Like, I used to wear Jordans almost exclusively as sneakers, and then one day, like, you're like, little old, little bald, little white to be wearing these. Like Ed Reed is a guy roughly my age, mm-hmm. and Ed Reed can wear like a suit with a hoodie underneath, a fedora, and yeah. like a pair of Jordan 11s.
Yeah.
And you're like, you're the coolest man alive.
Yeah, Charles Woodson throws in the ascot, you know?
Yeah.
You're like...
Yeah, I wear that, and you're like...
Come on, man. Yeah.
Little bit. See, we all kind of age out of things, and Will's fine. Will's in the age of hat backwards, but I do like to make fun of him because he wears a hat every day, and it's... Oh, I don't know if I've ever seen him wear a hat forward.
I don't.
Our fearless midday producer is in. Jeff Russ says, backwards hat. I still wear my hat backwards, you turds.
Yeah.
Backwards hat is for tropical vacation only for us olds. I mean, there is the get the sun off of the neck functionality of a backwards hat, but that's rare.
I don't get why you guys are out here trying to limit yourself on what you can and can't wear. Like, just wear it with pride,
I'm telling you, Will, this is one of those things. You don't realize it when you're in your 20s. But you'll reach a point like in your 30s and then 35, 40. Like every 5 years, you will assess.
You feel like you outgrow certain things.
Yeah, you will assess what you.
Well, usually that's eating too much.
Yeah, it all just kind of happens.
Nah, that can stick around for a little while.
I'm telling you, that it'll. You'll look down one day and you'll be like, ooh,
man.
Ooh boy.
Well, everybody
like buffets,
has that.
When I was Will's age, dude, you had me at buffet.
The value is important then.
Yeah, the value is great. And the thing is, the buffet will come back when you're like 68. But like when you're a kid, there's nothing better. You're like, what? All you can eat pizza buffet, $4.
But you're our age, a buffet is pointless because you want one plate of food and that's it.
Yeah.
For the most part.
That and you realize that you don't want to die.
Yeah.
You're like, there is nothing appealing about a buffet to me. I couldn't tell you the last time I went to a buffet. They're bad. You age out of stuff. And you don't realize it at the time, but then as you get older, you'll age into things. Like when you go to a buffet, you will see people's Will's age, and then you'll see like Will's grandfather. Those are the people.
Yeah.
Because you'll get a young person that's like, for $11, I can eat like 3 days worth of food. And then you'll get the old person, they just loved, like my father, when he was alive, there was nothing he loved more than a Golden Corral.
Sure.
And you're like,
all the value's there, man.
And you're like, Dad, it's like the worst food possible. And he goes, whatever. He's like, you see whatever you want? He'd go and eat like 19 rolls. And he just, it's age in, age out. And the hat backwards thing. But you can't, like, that's like the Colin Coward thing. Like, Colin hates the backwards hat.
You and Colin. You guys are in the same boat right now, mister.
You end up looking, like, and that's the other one. Like, I'll make fun of Will. But, like, the idea that you can't be a quarterback with your head on backwards. And Colin has a lot of dumb things to say. That may be the dumbest thing that he possibly says. Like if Josh Allen wears his hat backwards or Jalen Hurts somehow.
I think Matthew Stafford's a hat backwards guy.
Somehow they cease to be NFL quarterbacks. Lamar Jackson can wear his
qualified winners as NFL quarterbacks.
Yes. Lamar Jackson can wear his hat however he wants.
That's right.
And he can wear cornrows or he doesn't have cornrows. He has like the little.
He has the braids.
A little twisty braids or whatever. And that guy can wear as many pit vipers as he wants. You go out and you're the MVP, wear whatever the hell you
can
want.
Can I just say, I think pit vipers are so dumb.
Yeah, that's a whole thing that's made a comeback with the bros.
I get a little bit why it's like, okay, it's the next iteration of those Oakley M-frames that like baseball players would wear.
Yeah.
Anytime I see a human being out in public wearing one of those, it's a little bit like a Cybertruck. I'm like, what do you think you're doing out here?
And it's all individuals. And you'll find the person, and maybe Will becomes that, the sociopath that doesn't care. That's the sort of guy that wears the Speedo. That's the sort of guy that just, he doesn't. And in some ways, I'm jealous of
the art of not giving an F.
That's the guy that can wear a fedora. And yep. He doesn't care, like, in an unironic way.
Because it won't bother him what you think about it.
Yeah,
it's
he's
just
like,
what
whatever,
he likes.
Dude, this is my fedora.
Backwards hats are a far cry from fedora, though.
I would agree with that.
It is. And there's a text.
That's on one step away from a Kangol, Will.
No, I don't know. That means
Samuel
nothing
L.
to me. That means nothing to me. But this
you
is
know,
a great
the,
text.
The Kangol is the Samuel L. Jackson kind
of. Oh,
like,
whatever that stupid hat is?
The one that he wears backwards.
The driver's hat? I had a college football coach that used to wear that.
I used to sell those. I had a bunch of those.
This guy said, I'll never forget it when a girl called me out for having basketball posters on my wall. I was 22. They came down the day after.
Yeah. Yeah.
It happens.
Well, once the significant other calls you out, like that's what happened with my hair. I had really bad hair at the very end. And a significant other said, dude, just go bald. And then you go bald. So a lot of these changes also happen if someone else typically a hot comes in and tells you, hey, you need to fix these things.
That's why the hot is the ultimate, like, retail gal. There's nothing better than if you're in whatever store you're into, whether you shop at Old Navy, whether you shop at Nordstrom, anything in between. There's nothing more enjoyable than the awkward 20-something or the awkward 50-something.
Yeah.
Right? The 20-something's more likely to be in the Banana Republic or the Old Navy. Sure. The 50 more in the Nordstrom. There's nothing better than you can tell the guy that isn't really confident about what he's doing in there. And, of course, the retail lady's hot. And the hot girl's like, oh, no, these are all the rage. I think you look great in these.
These are great. Oh, that's a $350 sweater, sir.
And then you see the guy putting it on, and he's like, okay.
She said it looks good.
And in no way is he confident wearing those. Like, that guy's walking out of there in some, like, linen cargo pants.
It might live in his closet, or he might try to wear it once, and his wife will look at him sideways, and it goes right back in the closet.
Well, you know he goes home, and you know the wife looks at him for the older guy and is like, you son of a bitch. Because she knows what happened. She knows a hot told him that he looked good. And in reality, he looks like a clown. And you're like, well, this is what I'm... And we've all been there. Every one of us has been there before where a hot says something and you're like, well, like, this is my new look. She said it looked good. Therefore, I'm wearing this every day for the rest of my life.
The posters in the bedroom thing, though, that's interesting because that is a something that can graduate with you through your life as an adult sports fan because... Yeah. There's a maturity point where you cannot have them on your bedroom walls. That is a no-go. It's a no-fly zone for the ladies if you got those going on. But you're sharing a house with bros. Sometimes those end up in the living room.
Well,
and that's still acceptable there. But then you get a little older, and they can only go in like a living room, a den, a man cave type area.
Or as you get older, you realize that you can't have that big wooden spool as your coffee table.
Yeah.
You actually have to have furniture that looks like you know what you're doing.
Wasn't something you picked up off of Craigslist that was in the for free section?
Well, I had like a... And you get like these come in phases, like not to get all like bring the show down, but like after my wife passed... I moved out of our house and I got rid of all our, we needed a fresh.
The things that reminded you or trigger some of the trauma from it. And that makes sense.
So we just kind of, I did like a.
A cleanse almost.
Yeah, we did like a hard reset. So I had a floor bed for a while because I got rid of our bed.
Yeah.
So I just had a mattress like on the floor because we moved into the place and everything was in boxes. And I'll admit that went on a little longer than it probably should have had. We're living in that house for a couple months, the new house. And I really hadn't put anything away. Yeah, you're dealing with some other.
Yeah,
you're dealing with some
There's
other
more
stuff.
More pressing matters.
And I was sitting around on a Saturday, and I think I was sitting there like in a pair of like cut off like sweat shorts. I didn't have a shirt on or whatever. And my youngest daughter, who was pretty small at the time, and is like, "Hey, Dad, can I play with so and so from school?" And I was like, "Oh, you got a friend?" And I was like, "Absolutely." I was like, "Do you need me to drop her off or whatever?" And I was like. Or she said, no, she goes, her mom's going to come pick me up. And I was like, great. And she was like, the mom wants to come in and meet you, though. And I was
like,
I was like, oh,
I don't know if I like
that. I was like, when are they showing up? And they're like, well, if it's okay, they're going to be here in just a couple minutes. And I was like, so I was like panicked. I was like, crap. So I was like, put on clothes. And I'm looking around the house and it's just, dude, it's got real divorce. Like, I've only got my dad on the weekend vibe. Like, I got my kids on the weekend.
Yeah, that I'm barely hanging on to the control of this little family right now, yeah, at least on my own end.
Yeah, it was rough. So believe it or not, like, I went up, like, threw some clothes on, and I started shoving stuff in boxes, and then I lied and said that we had just moved in.
There you go.
But then, like, she came in the house, and I was like, oh, pardon me,
we just got here.
We just got here. We had been there, like, 6 months.
Love it.
But I was literally, because I just was... I made it look more disorganized and starting to pack in boxes. And, it is where you move in and it's been 6 months of this. But, and that was like what I needed to get my ass together. That was one of those moments where I looked around and was like, all right.
I got
to
be better than this.
Time to grow up. The very next day, first thing I did, order a bed.
There you go.
I was like,
look
all right,
at you.
Floor beds come. I will admit, the floor bed was kind of nice.
Was it just the mattress on the floor?
Yeah, it's the mattress on the floor.
Yeah.
A nice floor bed. Dogs loved it. It was good.
I love that move when I was 19.
Yeah, the floor bed was great.
It was awesome.
I was like mid-30s. It was a renaissance to the floor bed. That next day, I ordered a bed. I ordered like living room furniture. That weekend, we're like, all right, we're heading down. We're getting furniture. We're putting boxes away, putting stuff up on the walls, putting together a house. You have those moments where you just realize I'm too old. I'm too old to have these sorts of things.
Yeah, I had a roommate that had a floor bed in San Francisco, and she found a mouse in her floor bed, a live mouse.
Yeah.
She wasn't thrilled about that.
No,
I'm like, you might want a real bed.
Yeah, time to move
also,
it up.
Also, we might want to do something about these mice. All right, we got a sports show for you today. Lots of stuff going on in the National Football League, some NFL knee swap for you. Surprisingly, some more baseball bonbons making their way to our show, and the most terrifying mascot this city's ever seen has arrived.
Hands down. Not even close. Doug Fur, sit your ass down.
Yeah, step aside. There's a new sheriff in town. We'll get to all of that coming up, but next is headlines here on an SOB edition of Primetime 1080 The Fan.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
We'll get to our headlines in just a second, but Suk adding one more stroke of genius to that previous story. Not only did he put stuff in boxes to make it look like he had moved, he went and got other boxes from the garage to bring them inside so that a larger quantity of boxes would indicate more truth to the story.
I must have pulled 10 boxes out of the garage, some of which, by the way, were empty that I had already unpacked. No, those boxes went back in the living room to give the appearance. I couldn't have... like the first friend that my daughter invites over to our new house in a new place, and that's what the mom rolls in. First, it's bad enough. I've battled this my whole life. When the kids have had to bring friends over and you just see me and that's all there is and there's no female, automatically red flags go up and you can't have the house looking like it looked like.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that to my kids.
I get that. That makes sense.
Oh, believe me, I've experienced that many a time. When like, and it's just me. It's just, don't worry about it. I'll be in charge of your kid. Bring him over. It's fine. Maybe we'll indoctrinate him into some sketchy points of views. How do you feel about storming Capitals?
Exactly. Yeah, I was going to say, you got the Jan Sixer look, and then it looks like you can't keep your home life together. The other parental unit might be not so keen.
But when they do bring friends over, that's when you have to, you wear long sleeves and maybe a hat.
Yeah.
Puts on a little better.
Backwards.
Sure.
Puts on a little better vibe. Cover up some tattoos, wear a hat.
Grab your fedora.
Yeah, grab a fedora. Put that on straight. you know, put off more of a...
Put on a tie, even though you're not wearing a shirt that belongs... Like, do you remember the Patrick Willis retirement ceremony?
Yeah, I do remember the Patrick
Willis. He was wearing, like, an open collar, like a plaid shirt, but and someone was like, oh, you, like, right before... Like, he went up to the podium and like, you should put on a tie. And he grabbed somebody's tie, and he put it around his gigantic Patrick Willis neck, and it wasn't part of a dress shirt combo. It was so bizarre.
Like, it's just one of those things. Sometimes when you're meeting your kid's friends' parents for the first time, it's nice to put a good foot forward, especially when your natural countenance cannot be the most friendly thing in the world.
Well, people say they shouldn't, but first impressions matter to a lot of people. And,
well, and again, I don't care what you think of me, but I do care what you think of my kid.
Sure.
Like, I would never go into a parent-teacher conference wearing shorts and in a t-shirt. You class it up a little bit. Cover up the tattoos, clean up the beard a little bit, you know, put on a... Like, it's like you're going to the bank to get a loan. You don't show up in a Let's Party Naked t-shirt. You just, you know.
Yeah, I get that.
Put on.
That's the only time you're going to see me not wearing a hat or a beanie.
When you're in the Let's Party Naked shirt.
Yes. When it's something important, it's, hey, wear some slacks, wear a colored shirt, shave your head, trim your beard.
Yeah, present yourself a little bit, you know.
100%.
Clean it up.
Well, it is PGA Championship Week here on The Fan, presented by Langdon Farms Golf Club. And the PGA Championship today, for one, first round leader bets not looking so good.
Not so hot.
I did almost get into a sweat that I would have felt guilty about for our audience because a guy that is one of my autoplays, mostly because Rop mocked it about 6 weeks ago, was Alex Smalley.
I remember that.
And so now I've been playing him just to spite Rop because I want to win that. And when I do, I'll like rub it in his face.
I love spite picks, by the way.
And he was not part of this field, but he was the first alternate. And yesterday, towards the end of the day, someone withdrew. And I saw that late last night, and I added him to the card. And then he was, like, one off the lead.
Yeah, he's 400.
And he was right there. And I thought for a second, I'm going to have to come in today and explain how I got a winner that I didn't give out among the 11 others that I provided.
Because right now, what, Ryan Gerard, right?
Yeah, and Ryan Gerard at one point today was 7 under par, and the rest of the field was 4 under. And I texted Rob, who is available. They do have a cell signal out in Salina, Kansas.
Thank God.
I said, who the hell is Ryan Gerard? And he goes, Jesus, dude, I have no idea. Never heard of the guy.
No. And yet there he is leading. And I know there's some people still out on the course, but he will be the leader after round one.
Well, but the top of the leaderboard is almost nobody you've ever heard of. And there's a bunch of guys that are tied for 8th that are a couple shots off the lead that you've heard of. But if you go through the first couple tiers, Ryan Gerard and Cam Davis, people know who Cam Davis is, but he's not a star.
No, Luke Donald was the one that I'm like, okay.
He was a star 10 years ago.
Yes.
And then you've got Ryan Fox, Alex Smalley. Ryan Fox, I think, won a week or two ago in like the secondary PGA tournament.
Couldn't tell you.
Stefan Jaeger, Aaron Rye, Alex Norin, JT Poston, Ro Hisatsun. Hisatsun? Is that how you would say it?
Couldn't tell you his Japanese. I can ask
Nico Echevarria.
I can ask the BTJ about him.
We know Matt Fitzpatrick. Yeah. We know Robert McIntyre. Keegan Bradley, they're tied for 8th. They're at 3 under par.
You want to try to pronounce old Rasmussen's name here?
That's Højgaard.
Oh, that's Højgaard?
Yeah.
Should I know who Rasmussen?
I don't think you should know who Rasmussen Højgaard is. No.
I just love when you see those the Scandinavian names and there's a it's like an O with a line through it. You're like,
But the biggest names of the tournament, they paired together today. That was Scheffler, McIlroy, and Schauffele. None of them did particularly well. Scotty got hot towards the end of the day. Everyone really struggled today with 16 in particular. Both a couple of those guys double bogeyed it. But
that was Scheffler and Rory both doubled.
Yep. And
16.
And I was listening to the broadcast on the way in, and they said that has been playing the toughest approach of any shot on the course, and that the average ball coming in is ending up some 50 yards away from the pin. And the greens are crazy dry and tight, but the rest of the course is wet, and it's it's causing some problems. Now, I didn't really know. Do you know about these sub-air greens? Have you heard about these?
No. What is a sub-air green?
So it's essentially they have a ventilation system under their greens to ensure that they stay dry and tight, which is, in theory, great so that your greens stay in good conditions, but when the rest of the golf course is wet,
soggy,
and you're getting mud balls that people are complaining about, and they can't control them, and then the greens don't match the conditions that you're playing off of, you have these issues with people getting it tight to the pin and they're not able to. So,
but yeah, it was Scheffler, Rory, and Xander Schauffele. All they did the triple double, the old triple double bogey.
And Scheffler's going to be right there. He's two under par. He's tied for 19th. That's four shots off the lead. Not a lot for him. Not a lot of ground for him to cover over three more days, but you look at the other stars, John Rahm, one under, Xander, one over, Justin Thomas, one over, Rory, three over, and this is a place Rory's won four times, so we talked about the names that nobody knows at the top of the leaderboard and the names everybody knows down towards the bottom. I think Bryson is one over as well, yeah. But it's not a star-studded top of the leaderboard.
No, I did see Scheffler was joking after the round. He said it's the first time in his career and probably the last that he made a double and still had honors.
Oh, interesting.
Okay, well, he teed off. So, yeah. You're playing, obviously, in the foursome there.
That
so
can't happen often.
No, Schauffele, Rory, and Xander all ended up with doubles, so he was joking after the round. And he goes, that's the first and the last time I will ever keep honors after hitting a double bogey, because they all had the doubles.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Well, we'll get to more on the PGA Championship a little bit later. They're doing something interesting for the fans that I had not been aware of other tournaments doing, and I wonder if it's the future of some of these marquee events. We'll talk a little bit about that. But also, it's a big elimination night in both the NHL and the NBA.
And there's big news in the NBA that may end up affecting this.
Which is?
Jamal Murray.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. So if you haven't heard yet, it is game six tonight in Denver. The Nuggets trying to avoid elimination at the hands of the Thunder. And Jamal Murray is now questionable for this game with illness. Yeah. And so we don't know how bad it is. It's probably going to be a game time type of thing. But without him, they really lose some firepower, and they play well at home, and they've given OKC everything they can handle, but that would be a huge blow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everyone
can attempt to play when you're sick, but not everyone's Michael Jordan out with the flu game. That
right.
is going to be a massive impact at time for a team that really lacks something other than Jokic.
And then on the ice tonight, a couple of possible elimination games as well. Do you think either the Hurricanes or the Stars wrap it up?
I think more than likely both do.
I think so too.
It's just to me, and I mean, people are big hockey guys out there. Washington looks completely overmatched. And, Winnipeg's doing what Winnipeg does, and that is meltdown. And the Stars are just a wagon. The Stars are really good, and they're really deep, and they're getting healthy, and it just, if you've watched those two series, it's clear who the better team is.
Yeah.
Especially in the Carolina series. At least Winnipeg's been in some of those games, and then their goalie, who's the best goalie in the world, melts down every playoff.
Can't play on the road or
But
for
Washington
reason.
Washington just looks overmatched.
Yeah.
They just do.
Yep. Well, lots going on in the NFL, but first and foremost, we've all been in a spot before, I think, where we've said some things about our employer that we wouldn't necessarily want made public.
Whoops.
It's unfortunate when those come out and you're still working for the same company. Yeah. Did the quarterback step in it, or does the company have a problem on their hands? We'll get to that next in our NFL Niswa, but here is Will with SportsCenter. Welcome back to Primetime. It's time to start our NFL Niswa and the NFL story du jour, some ugly stories coming out of Chicago.
It's just this is a bad look.
It's not uncommon.
It's just bad.
That in sports or just in life, when things are bad at one stop somewhere, the details of that come out later.
Sure.
The problem with that is Caleb Williams is entering his second year with the Chicago Bears, and Seth Wickersham is writing a book about quarterbacks in general.
Yeah, it's called American Kings, A Biography of the Quarterback. Basically, we've talked about it a million times. It's the most important position in all of sports. Nothing's close to it. We talked about it with the Commanders. The Commanders went from being a completely irrelevant team to having as many primetime slot games as anyone. I think there's 11 marquee games that they're involved with. Why? They have Jaden Daniels. And that's what he's writing about. And for some reason,
so that's
these morons talk to him.
It's not even the Caleb Williams
no.
story. This is about quarterbacks in general, and he's talking to old and young and everywhere in between, successful, not, on the rise, what have you. And I don't know whether it was Williams or Williams' dad
like
or
both.
A combination of both. But there is now plenty of information in this book about how much Caleb Williams did not want to go to Chicago.
No, and his dad, and we know the dad is a little bit of a hands in the pie sort of guy. And we know this about Arch Manning. We know this about Deion Sanders. Who else? Kyler Murray's dad has had some of this.
Yeah, remember the whole Dan Patrick interview where he's like, can he answer that, dad? That whole thing?
And that's fine. right? Cam Newton's dad was a little bit. I get it, man. We everyone's got dads, and they, you know, they pry a little bit. But why? Why are you talking to someone about a book that isn't even about your son? And some of the stuff in there, it just doesn't make any. It just doesn't make any sense to me why they would. Why would they speak to this? Carr Williams, who's Caleb's father, and I quote in the book, "Chicago is the place where quarterbacks go to die." Why?
So this is this. Wickersham wrote this. He said quarterback Caleb Williams was so concerned about being picked by the Chicago Bears in 2024 that he and his family weighed blowing up the entire NFL draft, consulting with lawyers to figure out a way around the league's collective bargaining agreement while considering signing with the UFL. Details from the forthcoming book reveal, Chicago's the place where quarterbacks go to die. You said that from Carl Williams, Caleb's father. And then it goes on to say that Caleb told his father, "I need to go to the Vikings." "Let's do it," his father replied. But both Caleb and Carl knew that a trade to a division rival was extremely unlikely.
It's not going
to
happen.
Bears GM Ryan Poles stood firm, telling Williams, "We're drafting you no matter what." That left one option: to either publicly attack the Bears in the city of Chicago, hoping that it would make the situation untenable, similar to what Jack and John Elway had done with the Baltimore Colts in 83. And, quote, "He's worried about me taking bullets," Carl Williams told Wickersham about his son Caleb. I don't care. I just don't agree with this S, you know? I'm more interested in making sure that he can do what he wants to do." But Caleb was concerned that if they did try that and the Bears refused to trade him, it would be a tough situation in the end. Well, you have a tough situation now, buddy, because you told everybody about it.
You know, and it's one thing. I get it, because this isn't the first time. Steve Young hid in the USFL, right, because he didn't want to play for Tampa Bay. John Elway famously was like, "Dude, I'm not going to the Colts," and threatened to go back, and I think he threatened to play baseball, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think he was drafted by the Yankees. Right?
I think that was his leverage. Eli Manning famously, they didn't want to go to the Chargers. By the way, the only way, the reason that worked out is Philip Rivers.
Yeah.
Had that been a different class and Philip Rivers not been there, the Chargers would have held his feet to the fire. It just so happened that they were like, "Okay, we think it's pretty close between Philip Rivers," and dare I say, Philip Rivers was the better quarterback. He just ended up in a worse situation. So in that aspect, maybe the Manning family knew something. So this isn't unprecedented, but normally when you go scorched earth, it's because you're gone. And I know that the Bears... The Williams family decided not to go scorched earth. They kind of had this begrudging, "Fine, we'll do this."
But now they've told everybody how badly they wanted to go scorched earth because they hate the organization that drafted their son.
And I guess in some ways it's a little bit better because Shane Waldron, who caught a lot of bullets from this too, they wanted nothing to do with Shane Waldron, which again is not the worst thing in the world. And now you got Ben Johnson, but you still have the organization, you still have the city,
you still
have the GM that drafted you, and the guys in the locker room. I just don't know why that you would want to, after an uneven rookie year, to say the least, uneven. And now they've dumped a ton of resources. They completely rebuilt your old line. You went out and spent draft capital on another receiver for you. You got three of them now. Yep. And you went out and got maybe the best pass-catching tight end, not maybe, the best pass-catching tight end in the draft in Loveland. And maybe they're fine with the smoke and the pressure. I just don't see the value in adding a bullseye and waving your wang in the face of an entire city and an organization. Last time I checked, Bears fans are pretty pretty passionate.
And fickle. Like if you go out and the first thing you do is throw an interception before a touchdown at your first game at home in the season, you're getting booed.
And then ultimately in the book, they come around to it and they're like, "Well, we don't want to nuke the city." And he basically says, "I can rescue the city. I think I'm good enough that I can rescue the city."
What are you, Batman, and this is Gotham? What is going on here?
Yeah, boy, I just don't see why. And this, I'm not trying to throw anything at a younger generation, because again, this involves his dad too. But this kind of goes to my thing about, we were talking yesterday about how there seems to be a movement in this country where everything needs to be public. Like you are not we have an inability anymore to just shut your mouth.
Why would you just not keep that to yourself?
You spent an entire off season by the way, fighting this narrative. And you said it wasn't true. And you said it was fine. I want to go to Chicago. I'm all in. 10 toes down. All of that stuff. Only to then turn around and tell an author that everything you said was a lie and you wanted everything in your power to not be there. And the only reason that you're there is because, one, you didn't think that you could get out of it. And two, you didn't want all the flack that was going to come your way, that you were kind of a coward and you didn't really feel that strongly about it. When all you had to do was just nothing.
And now
all you had to do was just shut up.
And the timing of this is terrible because it's going into the season before there isn't even football to talk about. So they're going to ask the coaching staff about it. They're going to ask Caleb about it. It's going to be something that comes up over and over again. How does this end? Does it? I mean,
you're on record saying that your division rival is the place. So I guess during this process, they got in. Caleb Williams and his family got to meet Kevin O'Connell, the Minnesota coach, and who wouldn't want to play for Kevin O'Connell?
Yeah, he's an offensive genius.
But then you just decided you liked him so much, you're going to do anything you can to play for Minnesota.
Well, good luck.
Again, imagine if it came out that Scoot Henderson. And I guess we don't really, I mean, I guess it'd be like the late, if you found out that Scoot Henderson before the draft, and I think this is a pretty good comparison because Scoot didn't exactly light the world on fire, right? Sure. Dare we say an uneven start?
Yeah.
What if you found out that Scoot Henderson at 3 was doing everything in his power to not come to Portland and the place he wanted to go more than any other place and was going to force his way if he had the ability was the Lakers? Do you think that would sit well?
No.
With the city of Portland? You think everyone might be a little harder on Scoot.
And you know what? It's even fine to have wanted those things privately. There's no upside and no benefit to letting this out. Like, Wickersham's not paying them for this story. They just can't help themselves but share it.
I get it. Your wife's sister may be hotter and sluttier and cooler and doing all kinds of cool stuff that your wife isn't doing. And I totally get it. At the Flammy reunion or when you're sitting there at Thanksgiving, you're sitting over there looking at the old sister-in-law. You know what you don't do?
Make a move?
You don't make... Well, I would say you don't go up to the dad and be like, you know what? Your other daughter. I know I'm with this one over here and she's fine, but man, let me tell you something. This other one over here, this is what I really wanted, but I was kind of afraid that if I said something, it might blow up the whole family. So I'm fine with your, you know what? We're going to be fine with your other daughter. But man, this one over here, you don't. You just eat the turkey and the stuffing and you shut your damn face and maybe you tell your best friend, gosh, I wish. And then you just stay quiet and you write it out. You don't go spilling the beans to the neighbors.
What's the age-old adage? You don't ask where you eat. Yeah. I mean, you are still playing there. You're still trying to win over that the city, the fan base, prove to the franchise they made the right choice, and now you're letting them know how much you thought they sucked before you got there.
I do think there is a spin zone, though, with it. And you can, like, as you read further into the article, it does talk about how Eberflus and Waldron didn't tell him what he needed to
that's
be watching
what I was get
and
next,
how to help him and
he...
how to coach him on some of this stuff. And so if I'm the Williams, it's immediate PR spin and turn and say, it's not the city, it's not the front office, it's that coaching staff.
It's the way things were under this old regime, yeah.
But now you brought in Ben Johnson, he revived Jared Goff's career, like, look at what he did in Detroit, this is the place where he wanted to be because he wanted to be with me. I wanted to be with him. The only reason I said Minnesota was because I got to see Coach O'Connell. I never got to talk to Ben Johnson because he was in Detroit and they weren't going to take a QB. There is a spin zone around this and there is a way that you can polish up this turd, but neither one of you are wrong in what he did was stupid. And you're going to see this more and more because you saw it this year with Shador. You saw it this year with Nico Emiliava at Tennessee. You're going to see it again and again because more and more people don't really have an issue sharing all of their opinion.
Yeah, and the thing that you referenced, I'll give you this excerpt too. It says the book also sheds light on his tumultuous rookie season in which both Eberflus and Waldron were fired because the Bears lost 10 straight games. At times, Williams said he would watch film alone with no instruction or guidance from the coaches. Quote, no one told me what to watch. I just turned it on.
See, and I don't know. Remember, one side of the story, I find that
unlikely.
I find it unlikely. I'm not saying, look, whatever you think of Caleb Williams and the father, this is the same dad, by the way, that was like the NFL is unconstitutional and the rookie scale and the CBA. And
yeah, he's one of those sports dads that can't help himself.
I by no means am an NFL veteran. I had a cup of coffee in it, but I have played high level football in college. I was in the NFL. I know a lot of guys. I have never. I find that hard to believe.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying. I find it hard to believe that the franchise quarterback that you drafted to save your job was given no instruction whatsoever. That didn't happen to me in high school. It didn't happen to me in college. I was the third damn string center in Denver and Tampa Bay and was never not given instruction on what to watch.
Yeah.
Never heard of that in my entire life. So am I saying that that is a lie? No. Because I don't know. Maybe it really was that dysfunctional.
Could it be as simple as he watched film by himself a lot and thought he would get help or instruction? Like,
I find that incredibly hard to believe. And I just be careful, man.
Where there's smoke,
there was
there's
a
fire.
Lot of this stuff about Caleb Williams coming out, and just I would just. The guy's uber talented. He did not light the world on fire, and he has no more excuses because he has one of the brightest minds in the NFL. They've given him every offensive weapon known to man, and it just kind of feels like it's never Caleb Williams' fault, and there's always something. Be wary of be wary of the really, really hot girl that always has something going on. She's a 10, and you put up with it because she's a 10, but there's always something. And it feels like with Caleb Williams, there's always something. And a lot of it, in my mind, is his own doing. So it's something.
A couple NFL teams shockingly didn't get any love in primetime when it comes to scheduling. Plus some highlights from the social media Super Bowl that was the schedule releases yesterday. We'll get to that next. Primetime, SOB edition, 1080 The Fan.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Bunch of little bits in our NFL knee swat today. One thing I was wondering if Suk had seen as an offensive lineman. Have you seen the invention of offensive line coach Bill Callahan, the new sled that he's got going?
I don't know. Is this brand new this year?
Big Bertha.
Big Bertha. I will send it to you
Bill
right now.
I'll look up Bill Callahan's sled.
Yeah, apparently Titans O-line coach Bill Callahan has put together a sled that is 380 pounds and only moves if it's hit properly or squarely. And
so it's just a big sled.
I guess. I just didn't know if you'd ever seen something like this or if Ortner had seen anything like this. Is this groundbreaking or is this just an O-line coach adding weight to something?
Just looks like I'm watching it here. It looks like a really heavy sled that instead of an upright bag is kind of bent over so you're forced to have leverage.
It's a different style. I wouldn't say like it's groundbreaking or new, but most of those sleds, like the ones that you see where the guys hit it and it goes way up above their head,
yeah,
you have to hit it with the right force to push it in to hit the lever that will allow it to go up.
Yeah, this just looks like it's meant for you to get lower.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I don't know if it's necessarily at this day and age. I hate to be the one of bearer of bad news. There's nothing that's groundbreaking in training.
I wouldn't think so either. But this was going around today. I'm like, someone who didn't play, I'm like, is this special or is this just a thing?
And to be honest with you, in the NFL, we didn't really hit a lot of sleds. They're not, like, again, not to crap on anything, but like sled work is it's a bit antiquated. Like it's something you do as a warm up. In NFL practices, you are not spending a lot of time on sleds. They're not realistic. It's more of a conditioning and maybe a habit builder, but like that's not the way. One of the biggest misnomers between like little kid high school football, even in college in the NFL, is you don't really block defensive linemen in the NFL. You just kind of, you get in their way.
You like herd them. You deflect them over here,
yeah,
over there.
Like the idea that you're going to take Aaron Donald and that you're going to put your helmet in his chest and then get a hold of him and then like drive block him, that doesn't really happen. It's more just trying to control and again, get in someone's way. Yeah, you can knock a guy off the ball if you're using a duo block and you got a little double team, but these defensive tackles that exist in the NFL that are 360 pounds, you don't move them. And the really athletic defensive linemen, you just, again, wherever which way they want to go, you kind of get in their way and then try to run them that way. So the sled thing is, it's cute and it's fun for OTAs and we're going to get physical, but it's more of a toughness conditioning sort of thing than anything you would actually use on the field. It's just, defensive linemen are too good to block them the way that you think of blocking someone. The way, if I were to show a young kid how to block, and then you look at the way NFL linemen block, it's the same in theory principle, but it's
different in practice.
It's different in practice because it's, you have an athletic freak or just an immovable human being that's standing in front of you.
Sleds are more used for technique work of making sure like your hands are in the right spot. Or to be honest now, a lot in like double teams, if you're using your forearm shiver, it's not a whole lot of like, hey, we're going to go hit the sled for 20 minutes and then move on. It's the stretching before you get ready. And like Suk said, a lot of those types of blocks now are not drive them off the ball, they're positional. We always talked about positional blocking and physical blocking. A physical block is going to be like your double team. But like when it comes to like a reach block or a lot of times a zone, you can kind of take the guy where he wants to go. It's up to the running back to cut off where you want to take him. It's rare that you're told, hey, this guy has to stay in this gap
against you. I was reading your thing, and like we see this all the time where it's like the title of this is genius, legendary offensive line coach Bill Callahan. Eh, all right.
It's clickbait.
It's clickbait. You see it a lot, too.
In your own words, this is much ado about a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah, I always love, too, in these sorts of things where you see this a lot, like with the high school camps, where you do the one-on-ones without pads. Every rep that is highlighted is the worst rep you've ever seen.
Oh, and somebody's getting owned or demolished.
So every one of them is an O lineman literally grabbing a kid like around the neck and flinging him either into his right guard to blow out his ACL or literally turning the corner and flinging him into where your quarterback is. One, you just blew out your buddy's knee and you got called for a personal foul and a hold. But we love the sensational click stuff. It's Every time I see one of those reps or an offensive lineman, and I think Jeff Schwartz does a pretty good job. He always clicks and is like, this is a terrible rep, just so you know. But it's always the viral ones that are like, look at this guy. He's all man. Like, I'm watching like this clip of J.C. Latham, who's just like this big dude. It's just like what he's doing has no relevance to what you would actually do.
To me, I'm like, would that be effective if you're just, if you're only practicing stopping like the tush push or something? I don't know. It just, it seems.
That's a cool, I mean, it's, again, it's a conditioning thing. He's going to learn to get his ass low and drive his legs, I guess.
Oh, nice job, Bill.
I honestly think that most football guys, if they aren't true blue O-line guys, don't actually know O-line. Like, they just think they do. Mm-hmm. And so then they talk about that being groundbreaking, or they'll take the high school clip where the kid throws the dude to the ground and be like, look at this pancake. And it's just a lack of knowledge of what it truly takes to be an offensive lineman. It's like the least known about skill group, because if you're not one of them, you'll just never get it.
There's a guy, Duke, is it?
Duke Mannyweather.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you want like good G-next O-line own. Stuff, go follow that guy. He runs like O-line masterminds and like, really, really bright, intelligent dude that works with like Lane Johnson and some of the best O-linemen in the game. And I think we're getting to the point where hopefully people are understanding O-line a little bit better, because it is a really technical position, and it's a really important position. I think it's very misunderstood from a lot of the general football.
No, and I generally find that for whatever reason, if it's because of the intricacies of the position, all the things that you're responsible for and accountable for, offensive linemen almost always make the best football analysts. It across the board, it seems like there's so much at least offensive insight about when it comes to calling games and breaking stuff down.
O-linemen and quarterbacks, because the quarterback position
Has to be accountable for all of it. Yeah, and I get
just,
that.
There's just nothing. No one sees the game like a quarterback sees the game. I mean, I can see the game as a center. I can see the game from a pass protection standpoint. I can see it from run schemes. I can tell you what to do, look for in a box, run box, pass box, as far as like number counts, when you should audible out of things. But dude, you get into what a quarterback knows as far as route trees and understanding coverages and what he has to see pre-snap.
To check in and out of.
It's just, it's a whole other level, man. I don't even. And then you get really bright offensive coaches. I have always said, like, John Gruden was the most terrifying human being in the world to me. That guy has forgotten more about football. And you listen, like, Sean McVay is one of these guys, Kyle Shanahan. You listen to these guys talk, Kevin O'Connell and Matt LaFleur. And my God, Mike Martz was one when I was around that was actually too smart for his own good, because no one could understand the Mike Martz playbook other than Kurt Warner.
Yeah.
That's another one. If you ever want to get smarter about football, listen to Kurt Warner. Dude is insane.
Yep.
And it's just, it's a different world. It's why the game is both beautiful, but also it can be so confusing. There's just nothing like it in sports. Nothing has the violence and the technicality like football. It's a unique thing unto itself.
It's a great combination of like gladiator style warfare meets, you know, military precision, you know, you just need a combination of both. It's strategy and it's brute force, and it's why so many people love it.
Yeah. And now we got Big Bertha.
Big Bertha
out there.
Well, we've got some more NFL Niswa coming up, including a couple surprising teams getting snubbed in primetime on schedule release day, and who caught the most shade on schedule release day as well, plus a valuation for one of the hot franchises in the NFL. That's all ahead, plus in the news in the next hour. You listen to an SOB edition of Primetime 1080 The Fan.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.